All right, welcome in a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report live on the Big X Sports Radio. A little technical difficulties, I believe, as we get going, but we're live and with you today and glad that you're with us. Of course, we come to you on this Monday with so very much to talk about IU in action over the weekend, yesterday, in fact, and once again, a very disappointing loss. At some point, you've got to say this season is lost. I'm not going to be the guy that does it on this show or today, but things very concerning for this team as far as the NCAA tournament, as far as how are they going to finish out the rest of the season, and what in the world has happened to this team? I mean, they had such a good non-conference schedule. There's plenty of reasons we can come up with for the struggles. There's plenty of things you can pick out as you watch a game. Maybe some see something else more than others, but there's a wide variety of things you can point to that have hindered this team or have slowed this team down, or you can point to some things with individual players that maybe have hurt their games as well. But it's a team that doesn't look like a half of its former self from the non-conference season. And just when you think, after a win against Michigan State last Saturday night, just when you think that maybe Indiana's going to make a undefeated finish to the season, but a bounce back. They're going to do some good things. They're going to put a couple wins together in a row. They come home twice last week to I don't want to call Iowa middle level because they're good, but to some Big Ten opponents that at home you should be able to beat. Indiana does not beat Iowa in a fairly close game, and then the worst of the week, and really the worst maybe of the last few weeks, and even going back into January, the big slide Indiana had there, which is continuing now in February despite the win of Michigan State. Ohio State at home. I mean, Ohio State at home to get beat by that team at home is obviously very disappointing. So a lot to talk about with IU. I tell you what, some fans hanging on, trying to be supportive. Very frustrating to watch, no question about it, as this team heads down the final stretch, really, of Big Ten Conference play. The Big Ten Tournament will be here in about a month or maybe just under a month. Of course, the NCAA Tournament, no bets at all that Indiana right now has a prayer to make that thing. I think you could make an argument that they're still on the bubble. You could make an argument that if they win this many games to close out the season, they potentially can still make the tournament. I mean, it's not like it's impossible for them to get in there. But at what point with how this team is playing and how this team is losing and some of the opponents in the conference, even though the conference, as we've talked about, is dangerous this year, at some point, I think you've got to say, I just don't know that this can happen. And I have zero confidence right now that this team can get to the NCAA tournament. Do I think it's mathematically possible or feasible? Yes, absolutely. If they beat Purdue next week and win a number of other games to close things out, yes, I think it's possible. But they are really up against the wall. Last week, we talked about their back being up against the wall. But two home games make you breathe just a shade easier. When you need some victories, and you know, if you're going on the road to play Iowa and Ohio State, you kind of, you know, you're not going to really have a lot of hope, I don't think. But when they're at home, you think, okay, this is something possible. But Indiana falls again twice this week. Really bad loss is how I would classify things on Sunday. We'll talk a lot about that game today on the program as well. We're coming out of a big weekend of high school activity, getting closer, 1 week away from yesterday, from the state tournament pairings for the boys basketball sectionals and beyond. So we'll talk some about that and recap the weekend for you as well. We've got some great guests that are going to join us in just a little bit also. So plenty of talk to talk about here on this Monday edition of the program. Let's start with the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us on this Monday program, in segment one, we'll have our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll have some notes on IU's loss, some thoughts on IU's loss yesterday, 55-52, that final score. Romeo Langford misses a three, kind of a desperation, or I should say Indiana misses a three at the buzzer, kind of a desperation shot. Romeo did lead the way with 15 points. It's pretty efficient, shooting the ball a little bit better, but Indiana still is a team a little stagnant, just not getting the performances across the board that they need to win some of these Big Ten Conference games. So we'll talk about the IU game in our headline segment. A lot of high school notes to get to as well. Also in the headline segment, I want to tell you about our annual tournament pairings special that we'll have Sunday night to get you all set for the boys basketball state tournament, which is forthcoming. We'll tell you the guest and the schedule for that. We've already got it put together and organized. And just excited that we're heading into the high school postseason. Still got a number of weeks, a couple weekends left in the regular season, but that first or that last Tuesday in the month of February, that marks the opening day for most sectionals across the state of Indiana. So we are drawing closer to that date very, very quickly, and we'll tell you a little bit about what to expect on Sunday, in addition to some headlines with high school basketball coming out of the weekend as well, in our segment presented by Hoopster Sports Grill here in just a few moments. Also, segment two, we always have Zach Osterman. Great way to start the week. I guess you could argue against that when it's an IU loss if you're an IU fan. Zach will help us break down the loss to Ohio State, a loss that I call just a bad one, a very, very bad loss as this team looks to get some momentum. They had some momentum coming out of Michigan State. Needed to continue that momentum, pick up a couple wins at home. And I tell you what, had Indiana won twice this past week at home and was preparing for the rest of its schedule, I think I'd feel completely different. And obviously 2-3 wins in a row does make a huge difference on how you feel about any team that you follow. But as far as the NCAA tournament, I would almost say they're in somewhat the driver's seat maybe to get an opportunity to play in the tournament. But now with two losses at home, with what's ahead, with how this team generally is playing, I don't know. So obviously we'll talk about Zach Osterman, not only about the Ohio State loss, but about the NCAA tournament bid. Is it possible or not? And we'll look at IU's upcoming schedule as well. Later in the program, segment three, Chad Gilbert. He's Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. He'll be with us. We always talk some of the local headlines, a lot of basketball this time of year with the tournament for the girls. In fact, Chad was busy this weekend. He hosted a really good girls regional this weekend at Charlestown. We'll talk some about that. We'll talk about the boys action this weekend and again, talk about the tournament draw. It's coming up. It'll be here on Sunday, and at least this Sunday we'll know the path for a lot of our local teams, for all of our local teams, if they are going to advance on and win a sectional championship and try to put together state tournament runs. We can kind of start to guess at the bracket once the pairings come out on Sunday night. We'll do all of that and more in this Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. And obviously, you talk about IU's loss yesterday. There are just a number of things that you could say about it. It's a disappointing loss if you're an IU fan. It's a crushing loss, I think, as far as conference momentum goes to finish out the year and also for the NCAA tournament. A lot of the same talking points at this point after this many losses and this many disappointing performances, whether it be at home or on the road. I mean, you kind of run out of words to describe it, to be honest with you. But Indiana on Sunday with that loss, four straight losses at Assembly Hall for the Hoosiers, and a number of people, and this isn't crazed fans, and we've talked a lot about crazed fans and social media lots on this show, and I understand frustration. I understand wanting an outlet to vent or talk about your team or coaching decisions down the stretch. That's just part of being a fan and following the game. I mean, it's high major college basketball, and it's a blue blood program, but I tell you what, four straight losses has the social media chatter and even others in the media and elsewhere talking about the environment at Assembly Hall and how as this team has taken some lumps at home and on the road as well, and the fan base has taken those lumps with the team, that the environment is just not the same. Teams come in, they suck the energy out of the building, and a fan base that's ripe and ready for something to turn around and for some momentum to build, like after that Michigan State team and the team coming home to play two games, you could sense the fans were ready to get into it. The fans were ready to make it the Assembly Hall that we all know is very, very tough to play in, but just not a good year or not a good stretch for anybody with this program. The team not playing well, that makes the fan base down. The way that this team gets behind early in games, I think, hurts the environment at Assembly Hall as well. So four straight losses at home, that is a staggering figure for me when you think about Assembly Hall and how tough of an environment it's recognized in college basketball as a place to play. Indiana did go on to take a lead. I think it was 52-49 with just under 2 minutes left in the game. Devontae Green, a three-pointer. And you thought at that point, okay, Indiana finally is not going to play from behind. They've got the lead. The game is almost over. Let's see if Indiana can tie things up, or can hold on, I should say. And what happens? Ohio State ties things up. C.J. Jackson kind of almost hit a heave-type shot with just over a minute left to tie things up. And then, of course, it got worse from there as Ohio State got a dunk and would go on to win the game. But, not a good one for Indiana. I mean, at some point, a close loss, a competitive loss, it doesn't amount for anything. You've got to win games if you're going to make a run at the NCAA tournament and the opportunity to get in. And this team has, and I know I'm jumping around to a lot of stuff here, we're going to break some of these things down a little bit more with Zach Osterman when he's with us, but this team has some quality wins. If you go back and look at the offseason, or not the offseason, the non-conference season, and you see some of the teams they beat, look at Louisville and the season that they've went on to have, that's a win Indiana has. There's some other good wins and games in that stretch, but I tell you, the Big Ten season has, at least from January forward, has been just absolutely disastrous for this team. And again, they've got some tough games coming up, and if they don't win, and at some point they're going to have to win a lot of these tough games to wrap things up, no NCAA tournament for this team for the 18-19 college basketball season. Yesterday, as far as scoring goes, Romeo Langford, he had a team-high 15 points. He was 6 of 13 shooting. Devontae Green came off the bench. He had that big three late to lift Indiana to the lead, at least temporarily. He had 10 points coming off the bench. Juwan Morgan, here's a shocker. He had 3 points, but he did have a career high in rebounding, 14 rebounds in the game. But just 3 points, that's got to be a low for him, maybe even a career low for him. I know maybe early on in his career when he didn't play as much or whatever, he didn't score 3 points in a game. But the low output by Juwan Morgan in that game yesterday, hard to envision any Big Ten game, or really any game that Indiana's going to win this season, with either Romeo or Juwan scoring just 3 points in a game. Obviously, he made up for some of his lack of scoring by an amazing 14-rebound performance, but still a very low output for him yesterday in the game against Ohio State. Obviously, for Indiana, tough days ahead. This team has a lot to figure out. Do they have time to figure it out? Can they win some of the games back-to-back that they're going to have to make any type of run at an NCAA tournament bid? They do have some time off this week to practice, to work on some things, maybe to rest some guys a little bit as well. But they're back at it at Minnesota on Saturday, an afternoon game. And, of course, when you think about Minnesota, they weren't projected to be at the top of the conference, but they've battled. They've won some games they shouldn't. That's a tough place, the Barn in Minneapolis, for the team to play. And then after that, they come back home, but it's Purdue. And Purdue's continuing to play some good basketball up there at the top of the Big Ten Conference standings, or near the top of the standings as well. After Purdue, it's at Iowa, then it's Wisconsin at home, and then Michigan State at home. And then it gets a little easier to close things out. I say easier, but Indiana has struggled even with the win earlier in the conference over Illinois. They play at Illinois in March, and then they have Rutgers at home before the Big Ten tournament starts. But, yeah, those last two games, you know, they're going to have to win those, obviously, but it's going to take more than that. It's going to take more than that for this team to get eligible for the NCAA tournament. We'll talk with Zach about what maybe he thinks a path is for NCAA tournament eligibility for this team this season. Also, a couple other things to point out over the weekend, high school basketball. I got a chance to see Floyd Central play Evansville Harrison over the weekend. And let me tell you, Floyd Central is playing some tremendous, tremendous basketball. They got off to a great start. It was a senior night for the Highlanders. They didn't start their traditional lineup that they typically do, but still able to roll early. They were up 20-6 at the end of the first period over Evansville Harrison. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you a couple other reasons why here in a moment, but I think as we are sitting a week out from the draw, or less than a week now from the draw, I'm ready to move Floyd Central, not just from the favorite, maybe a slight favorite in the Seymour 4A sectional, to a major favorite in the 4A sectional. They beat Jeffersonville, beat them earlier in the season in a very close game at Johnson Arena, but I'm not sure about the Devils right now. One thing I am sure of is the Highlanders. They are playing some really good basketball. Over the weekend, Barnes on Saturday had 26 points in the game to lead a very, very balanced attack from the Highlanders, who are now 16-2. And again, they're going to be a tough out, not just in the sectional, but they are going to be a tough out, even if it's Center Grove and Trace Jackson Davis in the regional or the ensuing rounds beyond that. They are going to be a very tough matchup and a very tough out for somebody in the tournament. But look for them. I think they've got a great opportunity ahead of them to make a terrific run. And let's label them. There's no fooling anybody at this point of the year. They are the clear favorite in the 4A sectional at Seymour, no matter what the draw comes out on Sunday. There's no question about that. Also, over the weekend, kind of a surprising score. New Albany wins a very close and competitive game with Providence. I don't think anyone saw that coming. Providence just 7-13 on the season. New Albany 14-6 with a 58-56 win over Providence. It was a jump shot from the baseline by Chris Johnson in overtime that helped give New Albany its final lead of the game. A miss, a long three-pointer from the right side by Nick Sexton was off the mark, and that allowed New Albany to hang on and get a win. What a game, despite the loss, for Providence and first-year coach Sean Smith at Providence. Finally, he's got some guys back healthy. Now, he had an injury in that game, and I'm not sure the status of that player, but finally, he's got a bulk of his roster back healthy. Sterling Huber was absolutely just on fire from outside, hitting almost everything he threw up, including 6 three-pointers made in the contest as well. But we go back to a player that I said this very early on, we go back to a player, Nick Sexton, and I think when he plays really well, as he did the other night with some confidence and poise and ability to score and ability to pass, he's a very dangerous player. And if he can find a way to bottle up what he did on Friday night at New Albany at the Doghouse, he can be a leader for this team in some big moments the rest of the way. And I think Providence, if they can play the way they did against New Albany, and I know a lot of things went well for Coach Smith's team on Friday that may not always go well, all at the same time especially, I think it could be a team that, despite their record and despite what other people might think based on their regular season game, could pull an upset or two in their 2A sectional. So will be interesting moments, obviously, for Providence coming up here the rest of the way. And for New Albany, just an off game, to be quite honest. But the most important thing and the thing that takes the headline from that game as far as bad news goes is Julian Hunter, kind of a freak play, broke his leg in the game. And he's out for the season, it sure appears like, based on the injury. And so that's such a terrible loss. It doesn't matter what the school is or who it is or what player it is, but you don't ever want to see a key player, someone that was coming around like he was, really filling a leadership role, filling some consistent scoring in many games, leading the Bulldogs in the scoring column as well. It's a blow not only obviously to New Albany and Jim Shannon's team competitively as far as the rest of the season and the sectional and moving forward, but it's a blow to area basketball as well when you have a good player like that that's out. So our thoughts and prayers with Julian. He obviously will come back healthy and poised to have a good summer and offseason a few months down the road, and we wish him the best with that as he looks to get recruited and maybe find a college home to continue playing basketball. But most importantly, he'll come back healthy and ready for a big senior season. And I think Julian Hunter, with what he was able to do and really find out his role and how he can help the team and where he can be a consistent scorer, I think as he continues to improve and better that, he'll be a force to reckon with as a senior at New Albany High School. Also over the weekend, Jeffersonville victorious. They had to come from behind on Friday to beat Evansville Wrights. And New Albany and Floyd Central know about Wrights. They're not very good this year. Their record doesn't indicate they're very good this year, but they can be a pesky team. And Jeffersonville was able to find a way late to go on to beat Evansville Wrights, I think a final score by about 13 points. And then Jeffersonville rolled over Jennings County on Saturday night at Johnson Arena. Don't forget, our tournament pairing special is Sunday night. It's always a lot of fun. We'll start the evening with the IHSA tournament pairing show. It will begin at 5 o'clock, 2 hours of the pairings live as they come down from Indianapolis. We'll have all the sectionals across the state. And at 7 o'clock, we'll take our local version of Tournament Pairing Sunday and have a lot of coaches on to recap what happens, how their teams are doing, what their thoughts are on the draw. And we're taking a little different approach this year. I've normally tried to just get as many local coaches from Clark and Floyd counties as possible. This year, we're going to take the local sectionals, 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, and we're going to talk to kind of the favorites in those sectionals as well, who we think, whether it's a local team or whether it's not, we're going to try to give you a good look at the sectional as a whole. So in Class 1A, that's where we'll start in the 7 o'clock hour. Steve Kerberg of Christian Academy and Lanesville coach Michael Miller, they will join us from that sectional. Class 2A, Sean Smith, his Pioneers, trying to get some momentum rolling. He'll join us, as will Clarksville coach Brian McEwen. Both of those guys local, both of those guys underdogs, but both of those teams have opportunities to maybe pull an upset or two in the sectional. Also, Class 3A, the two favorites there, obviously Silver Creek and Coach Brandon Hoffman. He will join us on Sunday night. Brownstown Coach David Benner, he will be with us Sunday as well in our tournament pairing special. And then Class 4A, you got to have Coach Sturgeon, Coach Luce, and even Coach Shannon on as we talk to the big 4A schools in the area who will play at the Seymour Sectional to wrap things up later in the 8 o'clock hour on Sunday. So a lot of fun. We'll be promoting it all week. We'll probably have some playbacks of that show as well to get you geared up for the sectionals as things move forward. But the tournament draw Sunday night, we'll have the tournament pairing special from 7 to 9 right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Those are the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as the best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. That was a very long first segment. Stay with us. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is next. Lots of IU discussion after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Monday edition of the program. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He's the IU insider for the Star. He's with us on Mondays to help kickstart the week with a lot of IU basketball discussion. And, Zach, we have to start with negativity once again this week. Indiana, after the win last Saturday at Michigan State, had a two-game homestand this past week. And I tell you, there was a lot of excitement and thought from fans and others that if this team could find a way to win those games in front of the home crowd and the friendly confines of Assembly Hall, that this team could be back on track and could be on its way potentially to the NCAA tournament. However, two games this week, two losses this week, Indiana finds itself maybe even in a worse spot than what it was previous to that Michigan State game, which is really hard to believe.
Yeah, I think the term that I used when we talked about it last week was that these games were a litmus test. You know, Iowa and Ohio State. After Michigan State, because, listen, I've seen Nebraska win in Michigan State. I've seen Penn State beat a Michigan team that eventually went to the national championship game. The point is, bad Big Ten teams beat good Big Ten teams sometimes. And these two games felt like tough, obviously difficult games in their own ways. Ohio State and Michigan are both probably in the NCAA tournament, or excuse me, Ohio State and Iowa are probably both in the NCAA tournament at this point. Iowa in particular is playing very, very good basketball. But these were games that if Indiana was going to make that turnaround real, it was going to happen, or at least it kind of had to start with these two games. Because you felt like, number one, Indiana's kind of running out of time and needs quantity of wins to go with some of their quality. And number two, these were kind of ideally placed for a team that would be looking to maintain some momentum, would be looking to maybe prove that the fluke was more what we saw in January than what we saw in December, and that it could kind of get things together for a really strong stretch run here. You know, Archie Miller has talked, like many coaches do, about how February, mid-February, late February is when you need to be ready to play your best basketball. And I didn't think Indiana necessarily embarrassed itself in either game. You know, I think that you have seen Indiana kind of put those really frustrating Michigan, Nebraska, Purdue type performances in its past. But Indiana also didn't win either game. And I think at this point, you know, given the arc of the season and however predictive we can feel about results, combined with what Indiana still has to do, I think it's fair to say we can finally kind of start to park those NCAA tournament aspirations.
I guess it's possible, but when you look at Indiana's performances recently and where this team is at, if they can't do what you just talked about, if they can't win some games at home and pass the litmus test, probably not going to happen. So it's disappointing. I don't know that I ever thought, and maybe it was because of all the hype and excitement that everyone had, whether you were a fan of IU or whether you were someone covering the program that was glad to see some good news, glad to see some excitement, more people clicking to read your story, more people listening to the radio show, whatever it might be. I don't know that I ever saw a scenario this season. Thought it might be close, you know, at times. Other times I thought maybe this team could get in the tournament, win a couple games, but I don't know that I ever thought we would be talking about an Indiana team that really has very little chance, if any, at this point to make the NCAA tournament with Romeo Langford on the roster and Jawan Morgan back as a senior.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that this was a team that certainly, I know at least one of my Big Ten media colleagues picked them to win the league. I think I had them third. In fairness, I think we all probably underestimated the strength of the Big Ten this year. You know, there have been a number of teams that either have kind of come up further than we thought, or have been better than what we thought they'd be. You know, Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue being kind of the examples there. But I'm not even sure it's the preseason hype, because truthfully, I mean, Indiana fans were excited for this season, and they were excited for the potential of this season seeing Jawan Morgan, seeing Romeo Langford. I don't think there's any question about that, but the ones I talked to stayed fairly reasonable and level-headed about it for a lot of the preseason. I think it was more when they saw what Indiana did in non-conference play and coming out of December, 11-2, getting to 12-2, even despite the injuries and some of the obstacles Indiana had to overcome, you know, there was quality there. And I think there's still undeniable quality in this team. I, again, as much as I just said, I've seen bad teams beat good teams in Big Ten play. I was also courtside for that Michigan State game, and Indiana played really well in that game. Indiana played up to a level of potential that I think this team still has, but I think this team at this point is unlikely to realize. And I think the disappointment has come more in what Indiana put on film, what November and December promised about Indiana's potential, that obviously at this point, you know, is just kind of beyond reach, I think.
What reasons, Zach, could you attribute? And I know there are so many different things that we have all seen. We obviously all have opinions and all see different things greater than other things. But what main reason or two would you, as someone who's around the team, who's at all the press conferences, who knows everyone involved, would attribute to the great buildup we had in November and December as well, and a great non-conference season for the team with some big wins, and even in losses, they were very close and competitive. I think even though there were some underlying issues that now we're seeing more greatly here in January and February, but what would you say the differences are with this team from, say, November, December to January, February, where this slide really continues to take place?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably largely stuff that we've talked about before. And truthfully, I think it was after Rutgers that, at least in my own mind, I kind of found a way to say it that made sense. I think Indiana's been dealt a really bad hand this season with injuries, you know, with problems with youth and things of that nature. And the flip side to that is I think Indiana has played that hand very poorly. And I think that, you know, if it, as much as anything needs to be a quote-unquote blame game in modern sort of discourse around sports and basketball and whatever, I think that you can pin some of that on Archie Miller. I think you can pin some of that on his players. I think I do genuinely think that some of this is just really bad luck. I mean, you kind of got – Indiana got into a position where it had problems it couldn't fix because you had so many different guys out and so many of the perceived strengths of this team beyond. You know, one of the things that I've heard a lot is Indiana's just a two-man team. You know, Indiana just has Romeo Langford and so many nights, just Romeo Langford and Juwan Morgan, and Indiana can't count reliably on anything else. That's true, but when you think about the things that Indiana was supposed to be able to count on, the potential to develop Jerome Hunter, the potential to be really versatile and multiple in terms of the way that it played the forward spots, the potential to defend at a really high level, going big, you know, being able to go 6'5", 6'6", 6'6", 6'7", that kind of thing, and switch a lot of screens and things like that and really bring that length into the pack line defense. Indiana's never had the ability to do most of that. And what I think Indiana struggled with is adapting without, you know, adapting to what it needed to do absent those qualities that we all thought Indiana would have. Indiana just hasn't been able to kind of find a new way forward. And that's obviously on Archie Miller. I don't think there's any question about that. I think it's also worth saying Archie Miller has at various points tried to sort of take the blame for that, assume responsibility for that. But I also think that it speaks to, and I think a few of us, you know, sort of said this in different ways. It speaks to the fact that this was always a talented roster, but in some ways a fragile one because of its youth and its inexperience. And because as good as the top of it was, you know, you still had questions about a lot of other positions. And it's kind of one of those, you know, whatever has gone wrong, whatever could go wrong has gone wrong for Indiana this season.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is our guest, talking IU basketball, and I want to specifically talk a little bit about the game yesterday. Kind of just an odd game all the way around. Indiana gets off to a slow start. That's not odd. That's kind of something we've all come to expect. But they actually got the lead late in the game, and Ohio State, before you know it, kind of a heave type three goes in, then a dunk, and in, you know, Ohio State back in control and goes on to win the game. Juwan Morgan, on one side of things, had a big day. He had a career high, I think, at 14 rebounds, but he finished with 3 points. And you might know this better than anyone. When's the last time Juwan Morgan had just 3 points in a game?
Yeah, I mean, it in terms of his offensive impact, it felt kind of as low as it's been since he stepped into this much more major role. And I think that, you know, even he would tell you that. And I know there were questions post-game about whether or not the shoulder injury was lingering. I mean, it didn't seem like he was playing with anything, and he had 14 rebounds against an Ohio State team that made that part of the game very tough for him. So it really just felt a little bit more like he just kind of couldn't get going. He couldn't get his three-point shot going, which meant that teams didn't have to really respect his ability to post up, and they could, you know, double-team him a lot in the post. Is another game where Indiana couldn't hit threes. And so we see that similar sort of refrain play out where the opponent just stacks the lane, makes everything difficult, dares Indiana to hit some jump shots. And if Indiana does it, then a la Michigan State, a la Iowa, they can compete with some of the better teams in the conference. If Indiana doesn't do it, then their offense is just kind of stale and inconsistent all afternoon. And I think that's kind of what happened on Sunday, and then obviously you have those big shots, and again, it's another one of those, how many times have we seen an opponent, you know, make just one of those ridiculous, Bohannon hits one kind of fading away off balance with about a minute left for Iowa, CJ Jackson shoots that one basically from his stomach from like 25 feet away. At the same time, and I don't, I don't know that this should come off as a – I don't know that this is a criticism. I don't know if it should come off as a criticism. I don't know if it's fair or not. But it does feel like those shots keep going in against Indiana. It felt like they went in a lot last season against Indiana. It felt like they went in – they've gone in a fair bit this season against Indiana, just those kind of, you know, almost desperate end-of-clock shots. Iowa made a ton of them on Thursday night. And so at a certain point, it kind of just makes you wonder, is there something Indiana can do or isn't doing? Is there something about Indiana that is just making those improbable shots a little bit more likely to fall? Again, I don't know the answer to that. That may not be fair. It may just genuinely be bad luck. But it does seem like Indiana just keeps having those particularly kind of wild, how in the world did that fall shots go in at key times against them. And this even stretches back to last season.
Talking with Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. Looking ahead, Indiana's got, I guess, a little bit of a break when you look at the season. It's not often the team has basically the week to practice, go to class, maybe rest a little bit as well with the grueling schedule and how things have played out. But they'll be at the Barn in Minnesota on Saturday afternoon. And Minnesota's, you know, it's hard to break down. You mentioned the Big Ten Conference a little bit earlier in one of your answers to a question, but it's hard to break down really who's who, because there have been, you know, teams that at the bottom of the conference beat teams at the top of the conference, and it doesn't happen every game, but there definitely has been plenty of parity at times in this conference this season. It's just some unbelievable matchups. Minnesota is one of those teams. They have played at times very well. At other times, you kind of scratch your head and wonder what's going on. Maybe some similarities between Indiana and Minnesota could be drawn there. But it's definitely not the easiest place to play. I've always felt like, and I've never been there, but I've always felt just from photos and on TV that setup with that high court is a little bit different from other places in the Big Ten. But it's been a tough place for IU and other conference teams to play at, and that's where Indiana has to go next.
Yeah, I mean, it's a place where Indiana won last season. I think you're right about just Minnesota's weirdness and inconsistency. I mean, I had Minnesota in my top 25 ballot at a couple of different points this season. You know, I mean, when they were 12-2 and they beat Wisconsin, I think after they got to 16-5 when they beat Illinois, but they've lost three in a row, and all three of those admittedly have been to good teams. You know, they only lost by 10 at Purdue. Narrow loss at home to Wisconsin, then kind of got whacked at Michigan State. But those are all, you know, respectable losses in their own way. And I think Minnesota in general is a team that is at this point still tracking toward the NCAA tournament with a couple of really, really good players in Jordan Murphy and Amir Coffey. But it's also a team that has struggled at times offensively. It's a team that gets fouled a lot, but also doesn't make very many three-pointers and doesn't hit a ton of its free throws. It's a team that's burned kind of hot and cold at the defensive end. And it's just kind of one of those, it's one of those matchups where in another world, if you're Indiana, you could sort of think, well, we could steal something here that would be a nice little, you know, sort of building block for our NCAA tournament resume. Michigan, again, right now, I think, I haven't looked at today's sort of round of, or the round of projections, I guess I should say, coming out of this weekend. But, you know, Minnesota has been in a lot of projections that I've seen over the last couple of weeks. It'd be a nice little game that Indiana could kind of try and steal, you know, sort of the kind of game that you say, well, if they lose it, it's not the worst thing in the world. But if they win it, you know, there's a lot to be gained there. But instead, it's kind of one of those where if you are Indiana and you are having kind of genuine conversations about we need to save and salvage this NCAA tournament bid possibility, basically you just can't lose again. I mean, you can maybe afford to lose one more game this season, and this probably ain't it. So, you know, from Indiana's perspective, I don't know if anything qualifies quite as a must win. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on the air, Zach.
Can you hear me?
He's fine.
Yeah,
all right,
I'm back with you now. Sorry, I lost you temporarily there.
Oh, no problem. No, I don't know if anything kind of doesn't qualify as a must win for Indiana at this point, but, you know, this one certainly is up there with any game left on Indiana's schedule.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Sorry, Zach, I Lost you momentarily in my headset. Got you back. Appreciate all the great insight as always. And again, a tough week for IU fans, and this season continues to get tougher, but your insight and, of course, your great coverage of the Hoosiers, which can be found at IndyStar.com/sports, is always appreciated, and we appreciate you helping us kickstart the week here on the show each Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
Absolutely. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and switch gears back locally. Chad Gilbert, the Charlestown Athletic Director and an IHSA Executive Board member, he will join me for his regular Monday segment. We'll do that next and wrap up the Monday show after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
I meant to work this in the first segment, but not to make things worse for IU fans. But Tom Crean, former coach, he's not having a good year at Georgia, but it's his first year. They're 1-9, in fact, in SEC play. Yesterday, he got a commitment from an Atlanta guard who's top five in his class. He picked Georgia over a number of other big-time, highly successful college basketball programs. So just crazy. Interesting to see how the recruiting processes work sometime and why players choose certain programs, even if they're not at the top of the rung, much like you could say Romeo Langford choosing IU last April when Indiana, under first-year coach Archie Miller, did not have a banner season. It's still very much in the middle of trying to figure things out, even with Langford on the roster. But the player, Anthony Edwards, again from Atlanta, he cited multiple interviews I saw that coaching Victor Oladipo at Indiana, coaching Dwayne Wade at Marquette, developing those guys for the NBA was a big reason why he chose Tom Crean, who is trying to restart basically the Georgia program and get them back on the map in the SEC and in college basketball in general. But interesting to see him land a big recruit. Of course, a lot of chatter on the social media networks about Indiana struggling, Tom Crean rebuilding. Not to make matters worse for IU fans, but it is interesting to see when a big-time player like that makes a commitment to a school that you don't expect him to, especially when it involves a former IU coach like Coach Crean. Chad Gilbert's our guest. Chad is the athletic director at Charlestown. He's an IHSAA executive board member, and right now on this Monday morning-ish, we'll call it, Chad is a tired athletic director because he hosted over the weekend a 3A girls regional with some really good teams, and now you're getting ready for the draw this weekend because you've got to host the boys sectional coming up in a few weeks as well. So hopefully it was a good weekend for you and an opportunity, even though there weren't any real local teams, I guess outside of Salem. They're not in our Clark and Floyd County area, but not far away. Outside of Salem, no local teams. Hopefully it was still a good opportunity to showcase Southern Indiana and the great facility that Charlestown has and all you've done to maximize that facility in your time.
First off, Matt, you missed an excellent segue. You could have went from speaking of big-time players, let's go to another big-time player, athletic director at Charlestown High School, IHSA board member Chad Gilbert. That would have been a great segue.
You've always been a good
understand.
You've always been a good self-promoter, and I think I could get a couple other people to second that. I really do.
But I understand. I understand. No, but you talked about our regional. Great crowd. Great atmosphere. And, you know, and what that is, that's great for kids. We always talk about great for fans, but the bottom line, we want our kids to make memories, and that's what the state tournament's all about. And for the Salem Lions, you know, they were here last year, and it kind of goes back to that old Aerosmith song, you know, you got to lose to learn how to win. And they got beat last year the first round against Memorial, and they lost. They came back, and they won. And that a lot of that has to do with, one, they have gotten better. They've got great guard play. They've got a good big, pesky full court pressure. And, you know, and they guard you in the half court defense. They've got a great coach in Jerry Hickey, and hopefully they can keep the string alive from whoever has won our regional at Charlestown has made it to the state finals. They'll be at Jasper this weekend playing Benton Central, so hopefully they can do a great job in advance like they did here at Charlestown. So good luck to those guys.
And just a little shout-out, Chad. I don't want to spend too much time with all the topics out there on this, but a shout-out to you for hosting the regional. You don't have to apply to host that, but you want to showcase what you've got. You've Charlestown's facility, I've said this many times, and a lot of people that maybe listen to this program, they haven't had a reason to go to a game there. It's a beautiful place, and then since you've been there, you've even spruced it up more with some signage and just little things that make it really appealing for kids and an attractive place to play basketball. But also want to give a shout-out to Todd Satterley at Jeffersonville because, like you with the regional, he's applied and has successfully hosted a girls' semi-state. They've got a good semi-state there this Saturday afternoon coming up. And showcasing Johnson Arena, showcasing Charlestown Sports Arena, whether it includes any local teams or not, whether it benefits Charlestown or Jeff, your own schools or not, I like to see our area promoted, our facilities, our players, our teams, our coaches. And I applaud both of you guys specifically for being willing to take the extra step and host those things. And, you know, I always ask, you know, friends like you guys, was it profitable for the school? And oftentimes that answer is a little bit, maybe not that much, broke even, whatever your response is, because I applaud that even more that you want to showcase and you want to do the right things and put your school at the top of the list, even when it might mean a whole bunch of work and no extra benefit for your athletic department or for whatever that money goes to benefit. So a quick shout out to you two. I know there's a lot we want to get to today in a short amount of time to do so, but you guys going above and beyond, and I think it should be recognized.
Well, I appreciate it, Matt. I know Todd appreciates that as well. And in our situation up here at Charlestown, we have put a lot into this, into our gym, and we wanted to make it look nice. We want people just not see our gym, but we're proud of our school, all our outdoor facilities, our classrooms, our radio and TV productions. We're proud of all that, and we do want to showcase it. But when we have the teams come in the state tournament, we usually get great crowds, and we're hoping that our Charlestown people come to those games with their kids who are in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and those kids see what it's like to be on the big stage, you know, see what it's like to play for something and see that crowd, that electricity in the gym, and those kids really focus and start working hard so one day, you know, a Charlestown team will be playing in the highest level in the state tournament. So that's, you know, that's what it's about, and hopefully we'll continue to grow, and hopefully we'll meet our goals at some point.
Chad, a couple things I want to get with you on, and of course the draw is Sunday for the boys. We've got our 2-hour special coming up where I really enjoy hearing from area coaches, but kind of a sad note over the weekend, and specifically for me, Julian Hunter, great kid, obviously a great player, but a great kid as well. One of my favorites, just a good personality, a good kid, a good teammate, a good kid to be around. You know, always willing to help any way he can. He does the scoreboard at our freshman games at New Albany. Just wants to be around the school and the program, and outside of playing, obviously, and playing a big role for the team. Goes down with a kind of a freak thing. Really didn't look like a major collision or some things you typically see when there's a break in a leg or an arm or something, a fall, something like that. But he goes down and has a break and will miss the rest of the season. Jim Shannon confirming that with some media earlier today. And just a negative for the Bulldogs, but really a negative for the area. Anytime you see anyone, specifically a starter and a key player, go down.
No question. No, that's a tough break for that kid because, you know, he's worked hard and he's had expectations. I mean, you can remember thinking about people talking about him from the 7th grade on, and he's had that, and he's stepped up and he's done a great job, you know, playing alongside Romeo now, kind of having it his team on there. That's a tough situation for that kid, and you really feel bad for him, but it's a deal that kids play a lot of basketball. You know, who knows how long he's had that injury, and he's played through it, so that shows the toughness of him. But they play a lot of basketball, a lot of wear and tear on them, and injuries occur, and it's awful to say. You know, it's awful for him. It's awful for the Bulldog fans. But if you're Jim Shannon, you know, you almost got to have your team rally around that and play for Julian Hunter the rest of the way. You know, and it's the next man up mentality. Who's going to step up and play for him so we can advance? So that's something, you know, the Bulldogs may be able to rally around and play at another level. But, you know, it's going to be hard without him out there because, just like you said, when you're a good kid like that, that leadership goes on the court in the locker room as well. So hopefully speedy recovery for him, and you just keep moving on.
Chad, there's not a lot to talk about with the pairings until they actually come out and we all find out the pathway for success for our local teams, not just through the sectional, but you can kind of pair up who the sectional winners will play each other in the regional round and so forth. But any rituals or pairings, things that you look forward to in your days as a coach of the Jeff boys or the Jeff girls?
You know, when we look at the sectional, when the pairings, we'd always want to play that first game. We always thought it was advantage. You know, if you get the bye, you make it up like it's a good deal, and you say, oh, yeah, we get some time to rest, time to get our stuff together. But as a coach, as a player, you want to play games. This time of year, you want to play games. Obviously, that's another opportunity for another career win. You want to get that game in so you can go out and perform at your level. And I think that's the biggest thing that coaches want, is to play. So I think that's important going into it as a key to a good draw. And then going into it, you want to play your basketball. You want to do what you do. Do what you've done every year. You know, they say, oh, I ain't making any adjustments during the sectional. Yeah, people do make adjustments during the sectional. Now, whether they're executed or not, that's yet to be determined. But there's adjustments going on there, but you just don't change your whole philosophy after 22 games and say, we're just go from a man team to a zone team. You throw a few wrinkles of what you do to make your team be successful. But the last thing going in, you want to have fun. You want your kids to be loose. You want to play your best basketball at the year and not be tight. And I think all these coaches around here are veteran coaches. They know that, and I think they're ready and they're geared up for a good tournament run.
Chad Gilbert, D. Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. Chad, quick segment today. We've got to run, but always good to catch up. We'll be talking with you again here soon. I know we're going to do some stuff for the high school tournament beginning, and we'll be talking with you more about that.
Man, I appreciate the run. I look forward to your sectional preview. A lot of great insights from top area coaches. It's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, it will be fun. Chad Gilbert with us Mondays. And again, don't forget, we'll be on Sunday night, 7 to 9, special pairing show, but plenty of time to promote that. Have a good Monday. I'm back tomorrow. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.